It was Klaus's turn to close his eyes in thought. "If you tilted the bench," he said after a pause, "it would become a ramp. The ancient Egyptians used ramps to build the pyramids."
"But we're not trying to build a pyramid," Violet cried in exasperation. "We're trying to escape from jail."
"I'm just trying to be helpful," Klaus cried. "If it weren't for you and your silly hair ribbons, we wouldn't have been arrested in the first place."
"And if it weren't for your ridiculous glasses," Violet snapped in reply, "we wouldn't be here in this jail."
"Stop!" Sunny shrieked.
Violet and Klaus glared angrily at one another for a moment, and then sighed. Violet moved over on the bench to make room for her siblings. "Come and sit down," she said gloomily. "I'm sorry I yelled at you, Klaus. Of course it's not your fault that we're here." "It's not yours either," Klaus said. "I'm just frustrated. Only a few hours ago, we thought we'd be able to find the quagmires and save Jacques." "But we were too late to save Jacques," Violet said, shuddering. "I don't know who he was, or how he got his tattoo, but I know he wasn't Count Olaf."
"Maybe he used to work with Count Olaf," Klaus said. "He said the tattoo was from his job. Do you think Jacques was in Olaf's theatre troupe?"
"I don't think so," Violet said. "None of Olaf's associates have that same tattoo. If only Jacques were alive, he could solve the mystery."
"Pereg,"
Sunny said, which meant, "And if only the quagmires were here, they could solve the other mystery, the meaning of the real VFD. "What we need," Klaus said, "is Deus Ex Machina."
"Who's that?" Violet said.
"It's not a who," Klaus said, "it's a what." "Deus Ex Machina is a Latin term that means the god from the machine. It means the arrival of something helpful when you least expect it. We need to rescue two triplets from the clutches of a villain and solve the sinister mystery surrounding us, but we're trapped in the filthiest cell of the uptown jail, and tomorrow afternoon we're supposed to be burnt at the stake. It would be a wonderful time for something helpful to arrive unexpectedly." At that moment there was a knock on the door, and the sound of the lock unlatching. The heavy door of the Deluxe cell creaked open, and there stood Officer Luciana, scowling at them from beneath the visor of her helmet, and holding a loaf of bread in one hand and a pitcher of water in the other. "If it were up to me, I wouldn't be doing this," she said. "But rule number 141 clearly states that all prisoners receive bread and water. So here you go." The chief of police thrust the loaf and the pitcher into Violet's hands and slammed the door shut, locking it behind her. Violet stared at the loaf of bread, which looked spongy and unappetizing, and at the water pitcher, which was decorated with a painting of seven crows flying in a circle. "Well, at least we have some nourishment," she said. "Our brains need food and water to work properly." She handed the pitcher to Sunny, and the loaf to Klaus, who looked at the bread for a long, long time. Then he turned to his sisters, who could see that his eyes were filling up with tears.
"I just remembered," he said in a quiet, sad voice. "It's my birthday. I'm 13 today."
Violet put her hand on her brother's shoulder.
"Oh, Klaus," she said, "it is your birthday. We forgot all about it."
"I forgot all about it myself until this very moment," Klaus said, looking back at the loaf of bread. "Something about this bread made me remember my 12th birthday, when our parents made that bread pudding."
Violet put the pitcher of water down on the floor and sat beside Klaus.
"I remember," she said, smiling. "That was the worst dessert we ever tasted."
"Vom!"
Sunny agreed.